today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 22, and it can be found on page 785 of your pew Bibles. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went from there. He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending the nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Well, good morning. In this passage, Jesus has just been baptized and he's been tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He's now starting his earthly ministry in Israel. So this is Matthew's introduction to what Jesus is on about. And it's his introduction to what that implies for those who hear Jesus and who meet him. There are some key statements in here that summarize what Jesus is about. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. I've been reflecting a bit lately on the significance of mission statements. A well-crafted mission statement that's known by the people and owned by the people can be incredibly powerful. I remember when I was about year seven in age, the church that I was part of introduced a new mission statement. The senior pastor was very intentional about imprinting it on the congregation. We would say it together every week, and I realised I still remember it word for word. We said we would be a caring community of prayerful people empowered and ministering in Melbourne and beyond. That congregation's mission was to be a caring community of prayerful people empowered and ministering in Melbourne and beyond. And it did indeed shape us. There was an incredible focus on what it meant to be prayerful people. 5 days a week, there was a 6 a.m. prayer meeting for an hour. Every day, people were in attendance, and on Thursdays, it was a youth prayer meeting. Up to 50 teenagers would turn up in their school uniforms to pray for an hour before heading off to school. Many of us would have a Macca's breakfast after, which was some compensation for getting up quite so early. But that weekly statement around being prayerful people and the lived out habits of prayer shaped my individual prayer life and my understanding of corporate prayer. The last part of the mission statement was about ministering in Melbourne and beyond. Our eyes were consciously set on both horizons. So I grew up with the default setting of being willing to go wherever God called and expecting that his call may be to a place some distance away. This helped set a foundation for me to discern a call at this time to move nearly 4,000 kilometres to Darwin. So mission statements are powerful and they shape us. Here at Oak Tree, we also have a mission statement and we make it part of our DNA by affirming it every week, both visually on the screen and by being spoken in our services. Our mission is to glorify God, proclaiming and following Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a great mission, to glorify God, proclaiming and following Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. This has been Oak Tree's mission for quite some time. It was here when my family first came in 2011. So this mission statement has had a role in shaping me personally, as well as shaping us all as a church. And so today, for my final sermon, I decided to focus on this mission statement, and in particular on the line, proclaiming and following Christ. You see, to glorify God is the end game of all we do. And being empowered by the Holy Spirit is really God's work, not ours. But proclaiming and following Christ, that is real, concrete action and commitment. It's on our part. That's where we make a specific decision, where we shape our life around that mission. The Holy Spirit empowers us to proclaim and follow Christ. And as we proclaim and follow Christ, we bring glory to God. So what's the deal with those two words, proclaim and follow? Well, in our passage today, we discover that Jesus had something to proclaim. In verse 17, we read, "From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Part of proclaiming Christ is to proclaim what he proclaimed. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, I don't know about your workplace and your neighborhood, but I don't think it would have gone down too well in any of my non-church workplaces or my neighborhood to wander in and start proclaiming that exact phrase. Because Jesus was speaking into a different time and a different culture. He was speaking to people who already considered themselves the people of God. He was speaking to a community that knew their nation was in trouble and knew that it was in part because they hadn't been faithful to God. So proclaiming Christ in our community might not be to proclaim those exact words, but it is to proclaim that message. The message of the truth of God. The message of his holiness and our sinfulness. A message about the existence of an objective right and wrong, about good and evil. The message that humanity is not inherently good, that we can't save ourselves. We need a saviour. A message that adds up to a call. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. To proclaim Christ, we proclaim what he proclaimed. That although our world is in the shadow of darkness and death, a light has dawned. We're all invited to repent and enter that light. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Proclaim what Jesus proclaimed. We then come to the next part of our passage. As Jesus went through the land, preaching and proclaiming this message of repentance and the coming kingdom of God, he had personal calls to those who heard. We read, "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.'" In our mission statement, we don't just commit to proclaim Christ, but also to follow him. Jesus called Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and then called to James and John, and they were called to follow. And the following was an active thing. They weren't called to follow just to be friends with Jesus, and they weren't called to follow just to be forgiven or made right with God. They weren't called to follow primarily to be healed or to gain eternal life. They were called to follow in order to serve. They were called to follow and take up a job, take up a calling, take up a responsibility. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. Jesus transformed the focus of their life. Jesus transformed the goal of their life. These ordinary men were fairly poor. They had no notable education, no notable social status, but they were to fish for people and be part of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And we also take up the call to follow Jesus. That means we take up a call to action, to follow the example of Jesus and to follow his call to action. Following Jesus means being part of taking the good news, taking the gospel out into the world, to fish for people. Now, just as we don't necessarily proclaim the exact same words as Jesus, we don't necessarily follow in the exact same ways of Peter and Andrew and James and John. We're not part of those original 12 disciples, but we are following Christ and we are to fish for people. Well, how is each of us to be part of fishing for people? Supporting mission is an important way. Supporting evangelism and outreach is an important way. Being personally ready to share the good news of Jesus with those you meet is vital. It's wonderful to see the ways that this focus works itself out at Oak Tree. In the past, we've trained and reached people, many people, through Alpha. In recent times, Michelle has had many people take up the invitation for one-on-one training in personal evangelism. And as people have taken that up, they've grown in confidence and been encouraged. The current edition of Eternity has an article about the Bible Society's new Christmas book. They bring one out every year. This year, the Christmas book was written by Susanna McFarlane from our church. And the article is really wonderful in explaining her thinking that she has a wonderful intentionality about making it a true presentation of the gospel, not just a cute retelling of a known story. We have a Connect group that's focused on outreach. We participate in and support many evangelistic events, including Celebrate Easter in Federation Square. We're intentional with our billboards and the way we welcome visitors. So we also take up that call. But following and fishing is also in the day-to-day. Things like our current invitation for people to share testimonies on our website. The opportunities we take in daily life to call out right and wrong in our society, even if that's unpopular. The opportunities we take to share with family and friends who are not believers about what God has done and is doing in our lives. To follow Christ in loving those who seem unlovely, in caring for those who are difficult to care for, in word and in action to follow Christ and fish for people. It's also important to reflect on who we fish for. Jesus went out into all sections of society. He went to those with power and he went to the vulnerable. He went to the social elite and he went to the social outcast. He went to those who seemed to have life altogether, and he went to those whose lives were a mess, even if that mess was of their own making. So we need to be intentional about who we reach out to in following Christ. Here at Oak Tree, we have a number of congregations, each with their own strengths and personality and vibe. And earlier this year, I spent a month at St. Clement's in Elsterwick while Keepers was in Mozambique on a short-term trip. They were working through a series on Luke's gospel and 1 week came to the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was interesting for me to reflect on my preaching application to that congregation because it really stands out for the way it welcomes everyone. You see, every single person is welcome at St. Clement's. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever state you're in, you're made welcome. at St. Clement's. If life's a mess and you struggle to make sense of the world and you struggle to make sense to those you meet, you are still welcome. If you have only two words of English, the arms are open and you are welcome. And with this approach, they've seen growth. Growth from a variety of ages and a variety of nationalities. And real growth, where people who weren't previously going to church are now part of that community. And people who hadn't been in church for a long time have stayed. Here at Caulfield, we also have a heart to reach out to the lost. Many are involved in Meals for the Homeless, in Blessing Refugees, in our support for the Caulfield Park Community School. One of the challenges, though, is not to just reach out there. It is to be fully welcoming in here. To not leave welcoming to just a few. To not just welcome those who fit my demographic. But to be a place where every person is welcome, no matter what they look like or who they are. Even if they're an oddball. Because, hey, I'm an oddball, and I know my challenge can sometimes be to reach out to those who seem to have it all together. But following Christ means having no stereotyped boundaries. Following Christ means caring for everyone, offering them our care, concern, attention, and our genuine friendship. The boundaries of our fishing pond are as wide as the boundaries of humanity. Even and especially when there are people who it's easy not to notice. Even and especially for those who take more effort. At Oak Tree, we glorify God, proclaiming and following Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's one more word in that central part of our mission that we need to look at more closely. It says we proclaim and follow Christ. It's interesting that it says Christ and not Jesus. Jesus is a personal name. It defines who we proclaim and follow. But Christ is a title. It tells us something about this person, Jesus. The title Christ comes to us through the Greek and Latin languages, but it's the same word as Messiah, which comes to us through the Hebrew language. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Both phrases mean the same thing. Jesus was an earthly man. He taught, he healed, he set people free from demonic oppression. He lived a holy life, and that's so impressive and it's worth proclaiming. But Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, is so much more than that. You see, John's gospel tells that Jesus, the Word, was present at the creation of the world. All the gospels tell us that Jesus is the Savior of the world through his death and resurrection. By his stripes, we are healed. In his death, our sins are atoned for. In his resurrection, Jesus made a way for us to enter eternal life. He made a way for us to enter the fullness of resurrection life that is lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we've worked through the book of Revelation in recent months, we've seen Jesus the Christ in this marvelous light. The Lion of Judah and the Lamb that was slain, shining in glorious light, triumphant over evil forevermore, enthroned as King forever. This is Jesus the Christ. This is the Christ who we proclaim and who we follow. We hear this mission statement every week, and it's been shaping us as a community week by week. But it's also good to stop and consciously recognize what it is that we commit to be. It's good for me to reflect and to give thanks for the ways I have been shaped by being part of Oak Tree and by being part of this mission. I've had the regular reminder that the point of it all, the point of this life, the point of my life, is to glorify God. The reminder that what I'm about in life is to proclaim and follow Christ. The reminder that I proclaim the fullness of Jesus the Christ, and that I can follow in boldness and persistence and with a total commitment and surrender to his will and his lordship. The reminder that I do it not in my strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are things that will hold true for me in Darwin, just as they hold true for you here. Because being part of Oak Tree has changed and shaped me in important and lasting ways, I carry part of Oak Tree with me wherever I go, now and into the future. I am another in that wonderful history of Oak Tree acorns sent out to be planted in another field. And as I've been reflecting on what it means to leave Oak Tree and reflecting on what it means to stop being in denial about the fact that I'm leaving Oak Tree, a song has been going around in my mind. Now, those who've commented in the past on Dave's and my music choices won't be surprised to hear it's not a modern song. It's a song from the 80s. But the song that's been on my heart is the song Friends by Michael W. Smith. And part of that song says, a friend is a friend forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And so Oak Tree will always be a home for us and a place of friendship, a place where we delight to see and hear of all that God is doing and all that God will continue to do as you glorify God, proclaiming and following Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. As I was praying about this final sermon and what I sensed God wanted me to say, a gift came to mind that I wanted to give to Oak Tree. And it's a gift that captures this mission of proclaiming and following Christ, especially in light of our Revelation series. I ordered it some time ago and it was all on track to be here. And then it got lost in Australia Post. And late on Thursday night, apparently it was in Queensland. And of course, it had to arrive on Friday. And I just prayed, Lord, may that not be so, and may it arrive. And 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, my mum got a knock on the door and it arrived. So it's a worship banner, representing Christ as the Lion of Judah. And so part of the imagery of using banners in worship is to proclaim under whose flag we live and serve, and under whose name we live and serve. To proclaim who it is we belong to, and who is the Lord of this place that we inhabit. And so this flag speaks of us proclaiming and following Christ, the Lion of Judah, in all his power, in all his glory, and in all his lordship over us forever. And so, Mark, please accept this as a gift from me to Oak Tree, and I'd like us all to stand and affirm this mission together. Please stand. So what is our mission? To glorify God, proclaiming and following Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Would you pray for us? Yeah.
Lord, I thank you for this church, Oak Tree, for all that you have done through more than 150 years of ministry. Lord, I thank you for those who are here today, who you've called to be part of Oak Tree in this moment. Lord, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would indeed be empowering each one. Empowering each one with words of life for their family. With words of life for their friends. With words of life for our community. That you would speak words of life to each one's soul in those places that are trapped or bound and not yet fully set free by your power. Come, Holy Spirit, and equip us as a people to glorify you and to bring your kingdom near. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you like to wave it?